Good evening, fellow councillors and members of the public, to this full town council meeting held at Exeter Town Hall on Monday the 10th of June. Before I start, can I just say I'd like to remind all councillors that would they please either switch their phones off or on silence, and members of the public, and please would you use the microphones in front of you, otherwise your comments will not be heard or recorded. Thank you. May I please thank councillors for electing me as your chairman stroke mayor. To date I have attended a total of 19 events. I would just like to highlight three of them. My first function was Exmouth in Bloom to promote the Blue Heart Scheme, an excellent idea in promoting to the public why areas are left wired. Exmouth Business Awards, there where the Council's Environmental Impact Award was won by the Proper Fish and Chip Shop, and it is hoped to invite them along to a future meeting so that they can explain to councillors what they have been able to achieve. Exmouth Festival was an amazing 4 days of music, and I take this opportunity to thank Colin Hiley for all hard work, officers of the town councillors and volunteers who gave up their time to make this a wonderful free festival. Thank you. We move on to item two. Apologies, item one, apologies for absence, please.
I've got apologies from Councillor Paul Miller, Councillor Joe Wibley, Councillor Joy Whips, and Councillor Pauline Stott. Are there any others, please?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. With your permission, councillors, I would like to move item eight, which is the motion.
Item 12,
the motion after item five. So if you agree with that, can I have a proposer and second, please, for that? Second, thank you. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Any against? Any abstentions? Thank you for your help in that. So we move to item two, council minutes, the Crown of Allegiance. I'm not doing very well, am I? No. We go to type of form where we do have one speaker, and that is Anne Benson. Would you like to speak to the council, please?
I would. Yeah. Hi all.
Yeah, if you come here.
In March, can I start now?
Go on, go ahead.
Yeah. In March, when I raised the issue of the town council declaring a climate emergency and setting a carbon neutral target for 2030, the council replied that things had already started to happen and told me about the projects that councillors had been working on that focused on the problem. I'm grateful for the work that town councillors and others in the community have committed their own time and energy to do. I am thankful that people have been concerned about the problem and acted accordingly. However, if we are to preserve the ecology of our planet in which we can thrive, we will need to embrace transformational change, and we need to start that journey now with vigour, with renewed vigour. I understand that with a new council there will be an opportunity to bring energy and fresh minds to the task. To declare an environmental and climate change emergency without a corresponding target date to drive action forward would be to miss the point. So I welcome the 2030 targets set out in the motion on your agenda today. I acknowledge that the powers of our town council are limited, but they are hamstrung by the lack of finance and the greater power to act in significant ways, and that those ways lie in higher tiers of government. But that doesn't stop our councils having a go on behalf of the communities that we represent, and have been shouting that goal in clearly from the council offices across Durham and across the UK. In fact, I believe that 47 councils have already done this with cross-party support. They have pledged to make areas carbon neutral by 2030 and have called on other councillors in Westminster to play their part in providing the powers and resources. Please, councillors, do not underestimate the power that you have to move people to act collectively. The science cannot give us definitive dates, so it depends on our political and economic perspective as to how we decide and choose the targets. The science is also making it clear that the real time frames may soon fall outside our control because of tipping points. These points at which the changes will lead to irreversible chains of reaction and a catastrophic tsunami will become reality. Delay will mean we lose the space to choose. The arguments about what is achievable will begin to make little sense. Let's act now while we still have a little time to make the changes that bring help. That can help us transport in fair and socially just ways, while we still have some choice about the political and economic and social decisions we make. I hope the new council will collaborate together to achieve understanding in this task. I hope the process will be open, transparent and fair, and not be hijacked by pockets of vested interest, and that new ways of bringing the wider community into the decision-making process will be explored, such as people's or citizens' assembly. Thanks, councillors.
Thank you very much indeed, and hopefully you'll be here to listen to the debate. Thank you. Right, we now move on to item two, which is the council minutes of the 13th of May. Is it your wish that they be signed as a correct record? Thank you. Seconder?
Yeah.
Thank you. All those in favour? Thank you very much.
Just give his name. Yeah, the resolution on each page and sign the last. Who seconded it, please?
Tim.
Item 3, matters arising from the council minutes for information only. Are there any items that anybody wishes to raise? No? Thank you. Item 4, declarations of pecuniary interests and dispensations. Members declare any interest they may have on the agenda and agree any dispensations to stay. Are there any, please? Councillor Stick.
Just as part of the finance minutes, there's reference to our policy with Aviva, who are my employer.
Thank you. Any others? No? Thank you. We come on to item 5, to resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting. I'm advised that there are no such items, so we don't need to do that. So we now move on to the motion, which is item 12. With the proposer of the motion, please like to move.
I'm aware that we've got some proposed amendments to this motion, so do you want me to propose the motion first and then we take the amendments? Fine. Well, as a new councillor, I'm well aware that I have a lot to learn from those with previous experience, and I'm very appreciative that some work has already been done to address the issue of climate change. I've got no particular professional expertise in the subject, but I have listened to those with that knowledge. Over 30 years ago, I attended a conference and somebody was saying that climate change is the biggest threat to our planet. At the time, I wondered why he was the lone voice, if it were true. He's no longer a lone voice, and as we've heard from Anne, scientific opinion does vary about the precise nature, but 2015 to 2018, when the four forms used recorded, the IPCC have warned that there are only a dozen years for global warming to be kept, only a dozen years for global warming to be kept to a minimum of 1.5 degrees C, beyond which even half a degree will significantly worsen the risk of drought, floods, extreme heat, and poverty for hundreds of millions of people. But I'm appreciative, I think, that the council will, and the council will be concerned about this here, the wealth that we pass into future generations. Simply declaring a climate emergency and identifying a date to be carbon neutral is of no value unless accompanied by a commitment to implement the action needed to achieve this. So what's the best way for the council to identify the action we can take next week? My suggestion is that we have a group to take it from. We have a group of councillors who meet with people with the relevant knowledge. I don't know where we find these people, but we've got Transition Edsworth, we've got the university. There must be people that we can contact who can inform us. We need to know the main contributors of CO2 within Edsworth, and then we need to come up with an action plan to reduce the CO2 emissions. That plan needs to be put before the council, and hopefully will be agreed and acted on. I'm interested in other views about the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gossett. Is there a seconder for the motion, please? Would you like to speak to it?
Yeah. Okay. I like mine, have been concerned about climate change and global warming for a long time. That's why I'm a Green councillor at all. And over the last few years, it's become increasingly apparent that we are facing a very dangerous situation as a country, as a planet, and even as a town. We are a coastal town, and we are at risk from increased sea level rises. We already have work going on to mitigate the risk of flooding within Exmouth as a response to the perceived threat from climate change. So for us to say that we are also going to do our bit is the very least that we can do. I'd also like to point out that there is, if I can find it, guidance from our very own Committee on Climate Change, which has actually produced an extremely useful booklet, Ways to Tackle Climate Change, for parish and town councils. So there's plenty of guidance there, and there's plenty of opportunity, and I think we should seize that opportunity and go for a target of 2030 and recognise that we have a part to play, as many other councils around the country have. It is going to be a combined effort, and we need to play our part in that.
Thank you, Councillor David. Is there anybody else that wishes to speak to the motion? Councillor Solomon.
Thank you, Chair. I would first start by congratulating my fellow board member, Councillor Rossa, on bringing forward this motion. This is a relevant national issue. However, I believe that the starting point of this motion is our newly created neighbourhood plan, specifically at page 39, policy EN4, and action point NEA8, and para 22 on page 37. You can see that the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan promotes sustainable development as described in our common future report of the United Nations. So we are already ahead of ourselves that way. I then also think that we need to look at the cost and the scale of any actions that we look at, since we don't want to end up in a similar situation to Top Ness Town Council, who very recently had to publicly admit that the cost of their bypass could not overcome the excessive cost and the environmental impact of such a large infrastructure project. We also need to work with our DCC councillors to input experts' feedback to the Devon Carbon Plan proposed by Councillor John Hart. As John Hart says, and has been said here tonight, we are all in this together and we have to tackle it together. Finally, we need to get the expert young people informed, as the amended motion suggests, but without taking time off school and disrupting lessons, as has been the recent case in climate actions. I believe that climate emergency should not involve protest actions by the young. So I am not anti the sentiments in this motion, but we as a council need to work out how this can be achieved without duplicating the work of other agencies or incurring any additional costs or causing disruption to our schools. I therefore would suggest that rather than setting up a TAF, I would be happy if the existing working parties within the neighbourhood plan could be looked at. For example, we've got Plastics Working Party, Flooding and Drainage, the Town Team, Community Resilience and the Waterfront Party. So I think we've already got a significant amount of working parties already. So I'm not saying we shouldn't have a TAF, but I'm suggesting that possibly we could use the neighbourhood plan as we originally intended to do, look at what the neighbourhood plan says, and then go back to these working parties and see how over the course of the next 6 months or whatever, we could actually come up with some policy ideas. Because it is clear that, yes, there is a national problem, but we don't want to end up creating a situation where we haven't really made much progress and we end up like Tom Ness did.
Thank you very much for that. Councillor Dunbar.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I wanted to propose an amendment to which I think is already on the papers.
Can I just, I'm just dealing with the motion at the moment, see if there's anybody else that wants to speak to the motion, and then we'll take the amendment. Does anybody else want to speak to the original motion? Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's very dangerous to set yourselves a goal, a target, and tell the public that this is what you can do by such and such a date. That is very dangerous. The Town Council has not got the staff, not got the equipment. Yes, we are on the coast, we have flooding. Like my colleague said, we have lots of committees already. We could perhaps have a joint meeting of all the committees to discuss it. We need to follow County Council and Environmental Health with those guys. They've got the equipment, they've got the knowledge. Also, O2 emissions from cows are very high, and we're living in an area where we have farms, we have lots of cows around. There's no way at the moment that I can see to do anything about it. But I would hate this council to say that they were guaranteed to do something by a specific date when you can't guarantee anything. And until we know, yes, we work all together, but we can have aspiration, but we can't guarantee anything.
Councillor Humphreys. Mr. Chairman, Councillor, I think this is an excellent motion which has come forward, and I believe that we are virtually all of this council in support of, and the people of Exmouth. But the concept of thinking globally and acting locally is something that we should all aspire to, everyone within this town. And that is the main reason that we should get all on board with this project. And I will certainly support it.
You've already spoken once.
Okay.
We'll come back now. Okay, is there anybody else that wants to speak to the original motion before we go on to the amendment? Sorry.
Yeah. Just a brief word. This is a goal, it's not a guarantee. There's no guarantees put forward in this. It's purely a goal.
Councillor Dunbar, I think you want to speak to the amendment?
Yes, I want to thank Mike Rosser for putting forward this motion. And I think at the moment, when both the government, the county council and other, as has been mentioned, is it 47 other councils you mentioned have put forward, including our neighbours in Teignbridge. But I don't know of any other town council, I may be wrong in this, but I don't know of any other town councils who have put forward such a motion. What I do believe, and lots of people have already said it, including Mike, is that we are all in this together, we should be working together, and of course that means working not only with other councils and with the government, but also along with private businesses, residents, and our local community. One of the main reasons I tabled the amendment was to say, let us concentrate on those things that we do well, and not try to, which is why my amendment doesn't mention carbon neutrality or dates or anything of that nature, because I don't think we are in a position with our staff, our resources, our money, etc., to actually measure and monitor such carbon reduction, etc. But what we can do is we can bring our community along with us. And children have already been mentioned by Bruce, and we must involve them because they have already told us that it's their future. They wish to be involved, and I think we should do that. I fully support, and I've mentioned in the amendment, that we can volunteer to join Devon County Council's carbon reduction plan. And I believe maybe our county councillor will be asked to say something perhaps on that. Perhaps we can allow him to do that in his report. But we don't need to think that there is nothing we can do because we don't specifically have it in our remit. We need to be able to advocate for this across the community. We need to be able to call the community together, and I mean an idea of people's assemblies, which I think you had, Mike, is obviously something we can do. One thing that's happening very soon, this week in fact, is that this council are sending representatives along, that includes myself, to the Devon Association of Local Councils larger councils committee, and one of the people addressing that is in fact the officer who's in charge of the Devon Carbon Reduction Plan. So I'm hoping that we can actually bring back information about that carbon reduction plan so that we can factor that in. And I mean, I'm all in favour of setting up a group so that we can actually work to, you know, we've got an emergency, but the last thing we want to do is panic. The first thing we want to do is get ourselves together and make sure we know the sort of way we're going. So that, broadly speaking, we certainly don't want to reinvent the wheel. I mean, if there are things out there that we can use locally, then we should be using them. And that's what I would encourage everybody around this table to do. Can I just take on two specific points? I think, Maddie, you meant methane,
yes.
CH4
yeah.
Production, when you were talking about cattle. And Ollie, can I mention to you, which I think I've already mentioned to Mike, that that town advice and guidance for town councils is from 10 years ago, is from the Labour government's Department of Energy and Climate Change, and quite a bit of it is actually out of date. So there's a need to move on with the things as we've got now. Anyway, that's all I'd like to say, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Cooper. I'd
like to second that amendment.
I was just going to ask, is there a second? Do you want to speak to it?
Yes, please, yeah. The original motion is noble. It's great. I mean, no one would object to that, that the planet is likely to be poisoned and we've got to stop it happening. Putting an end by date on it is a little bit awkward, because what we have to look at is the global warming factor. And if we get nearer to this 1 degree extra, which is extremely dangerous. We might have to bring that date forward, not backwards. The other thing is, I don't know how we can monitor carbon dioxide in the atmosphere in any way. We may measure our skies above us as being clear, but our rubbish might be being blown to somewhere else. So I don't see how it's very difficult to monitor this. We can look at emissions, and we can look at the emissions that this council itself can control. We have vehicles running on hydrocarbon fuels. We've got petrol strimmers. We have to look at doing something about those if we're going to be serious about this. And all the other things that we get involved in, there may be a carbon footprint, so we have to look at that. I suggest that the task and finish forum, whatever it is, actually looks at this particular problem first. It's an easier one to address. The wider one, of course, is much more difficult. This, in fact, this amendment does give us a few more tools in which to deal with this particular problem. But it's so serious that I think we should, in my opinion, we should have an environmental committee, and we've got subgroups working on plastics, carbon emissions, and poison noxious substances, and all the rest of it, as we see as things go along. So I would recommend that we accept the amendment because it gives us a bit more teeth.
Thank you. Councillor Lynn Lampson.
Thank you, Chairman. I just wanted to support the amendment as put by Councillor Baker. I very much welcome the original motion from Councillor Rosser, but obviously I think it's what is actually within our control and what we can actually do here and what we can actually be able to do with others. And I think it has to be a partnership as it's suggested in this amendment. I also think we can only obviously on Exmouth Town Council do what we can within our own remit and what we can do with our own actual office here and with the staff that we actually employ. So you could, if you wanted to say in years to come you wanted to replace our vans with electronic vans or you wanted to do something of that nature, that is within our control on a longer term basis, which we might want to consider various other options. But I don't think it's something that we can do alone. I think we have to do this with certainly Devon County Council that leads. And if you look at all the research on the various other councils that have already started this and progressed towards this, and some have set targets for 2030, but they are all local government that is Devon County Council level, they're not on the town council level. And as my colleague Councillor Desarme has already mentioned, there's already been problems with Totnes, but there's also been problems with other councils that have put certain issues together and said that they wish to propose and wish to move forward, and then find they either haven't got the powers or indeed they find it's a very expensive option to do. So I very much support the amendment rather than the original motion.
Thank you. Councillor Siddique.
Yeah, it was just to say thank you very much for putting the motion forward. I think we can see that everyone is broadly supportive. I think just in support of Tim's amendment, just from my experience on the plastic reduction group, what we've seen is that our role really is in that advocacy and support of work that's already going on in the community, which is extensive. We've got the first meeting after the election on that next Thursday, but what we've really found is that there's already great work going on in the schools, that there's already sort of good work at East Devon District, there's already beach cleans in the community, and all these things can come together. But where we've found that we can help the most is in giving a bit of impetus to those groups, giving them some support and almost overseeing what they're doing and helping in that way. So I think there's a real benefit in the amendment that's been put forward, and that we do have a role in that advocacy and that support of what is going on in the community.
Anybody else? Councillor Dave Paul.
Mr. Chairman, I'm also going to support the amendment, and also just to say to this council, the most important part of the motion and the amendment is this idea of a task and finish group concentrating on the various issues. We have working parties, and these working parties should have agenda items all to do with this. But these working parties are all dealing with subsets of other issues around the the term. What we need, and Mike said it quite clearly, is another group of people who've got the technical expertise, the scientific expertise, who can then also help us focus in on this issue. So there's a global feel for all the problems which are happening in this term. And also, what we do need to do is make sure we have partnerships with Tamebridge, the district, and the company. It's got to be that big, but it's got to be organised. And for that, we need a task of initiative.
Anybody else want to speak to the amendment, please?
No.
Councillor, Mike Ross has the right to reply.
Thank you very much for your comments, and much of what you said, I agree with. There's nothing in my motion to suggest that we shouldn't be working in partnership with other authorities and businesses and agencies. I am concerned about the amendments withdrawing the 2030 target date, and it is a target date. There's no guarantee that we'll meet it. But bear in mind what the IPCC are advising: if we don't act within 12 years, temperatures could rise above 1.5 degrees, and the consequences will be disastrous. So I think we need to aim at that and hope that we reach it. There's nothing in my motion talking about measuring CO2 emissions. Clearly, to do something would be incredibly difficult. And the thing I understand, well, I've read, and I've no reason to disagree with it, the thing that the way that we can reduce, the most effective way that we can reduce CO2 is to eat less beef. How you measure, you know, how much beef people are eating, X or three eating, I've got it, but nobody knows. But so it's not about measuring the CO2, it's about reducing it. And that's why I think we need to stick with that 2030 date and the original motion. And so I propose the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we now go to the vote. We'll take the amendment first. Those in favour of the amendment, please show.
You can't be right. Yes.
11.
Those against?
6.
7.
6.
Can you count up again, please?
6.
6. That's right. Any abstentions? None. Thank you. So the amendment is now carried. We now move to the substantial motion. Those in favour, please show.
Including you. Yeah.
Those against?
2.
Okay. Any abstentions, please?
No.
So that motion is carried. As a result of that motion, there needs to be a TAP forum set up. So is it possible tonight that we can agree membership of that TAP so that we can, as Councillor Humphreys has said, it is an urgent item. We're all in it together, so we need to get on and get it sorted. So could we agree who is going to sit on this working party? Would I be correct, Town Clerk, saying it has to be on proportional representation?
For a TAF, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter,
no.
Okay.
I think if anybody's got any vested interest, so then that would help.
Anybody that's interested, could they please indicate by raising their hand, please?
Yeah, so I've got Councillor Musa, Councillor Davey. Tony, have you got your hand up? No. Frank, David, Tim, and Andrew. Okay, thank you. Six.
Six. Can we propose Andrew Coleman, particularly in relation to his specialist expertise from the Met Office?
Certainly. Okay.
Could you just read those out again, please?
So I've got Councillor Rosser, Councillor Davey, Councillor Skinner. Is your surname Skinner?
Yeah.
Skinner? Sorry, Frank. Councillor Paul. Councillor
Cullis.
Sorry. That's why I said Skinner. Cullis. I can't read without my long distance glasses on and I haven't got used to all your surnames yet. Apologies. Councillor Paul, Councillor Dumper, Councillor Toy and Councillor Coleman. Yes?
Yeah, and can I just say, if anybody else is interested, when the dates are known, please feel free to come along. So, through your town clerk,
we'll get a meeting set up ASAP.
Okay, yep.
Thank you.
Thank you all for that debate. I think it was very good that we had the debate and some very good things to debate. And hopefully, Anne Bellson will be happy with that. Thank you. If you want to go now, if you want to stay for the rest of the meeting, you're welcome.
Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you, councillors, for that. We then move back to the agenda. We go to item 6.
Order, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Item 6, to receive and consider reports. So we'll go on to the planning committee. Councillor Elson, would you like to?
Jim, proposed acceptance of the minutes of the meeting held on the 29th of April 2019 and the 14th of May 2019, and consider any recommendations therein.
Do we have a seconder, please?
I will second that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Humphreys. All those in favour, please show. Any against? Any abstentions? No? That's carried. Thank you. We move on to the Finance Committee to receive the minutes of the meeting held on the 23rd of May. Councillor Nicholas is not here to move them.
Councillor Sadiq is the chair.
Oh, sorry. I'll take a seat.
I refuse.
Yeah, I do apologise, sorry. Councillor Sadiq, would you like to move your minutes?
Yes, I propose acceptance of the minutes from the Finance Committee on the 23rd of May and acceptance of the motion therein.
Do we have a second motion? Thank you, Councillor Bain. All those in favour, please show. Any against? Any abstention? No? Once again, apologies for that. We move on to the Town Clerk's report. Hopefully you all read it. Hopefully you've all read the Town Clerk's report, unless there's anything you want to add, Town Clerk.
Has anybody got any questions?
Any questions? No? They're just for noting?
Mm-hmm.
They're just to be noted? Everybody happy?
Yes.
Thank you. We then move on to the Rights of Way notes of the meeting on the 27th of March and therefore noting. Or should they be noted?
Noted.
Thank you. We come on to the Waterfront Working Party notes of meeting held on the 21st of May and the 29th of May 2019. And I think that might be. Jerry? No? Waterfront?
No.
Oh no, Pauline Scott, sorry. Okay. Yeah. Well. So. You're new then? Okay, thank you.
Can I just say that. You flagged up this morning when we spoke that there is one recommendation in the Waterfront Working Party meeting notes, which is that We've identified that there's some urgent work that needs doing to the clock tower, the Jubilee clock tower, and the Waterfront Working Party wanted to recommend that that urgent work is given priority by starting with a thorough survey to identify the problems. The roof's actually leaking, and where the rain's coming in, it's affecting the clock mechanism. So I don't think we'll need to pay for the survey to be done, because I think we'll probably get the same contractors that quoted before to come back and have a look at it. But we will scope out what work needs doing, and then at a future meeting we'll come back with some costs. As per the previous improvements, we will need to apply for listed building consent, so there'll be some costs associated with that.
Good, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Can I ask the town clerk, send an urgent request to the conservation team and tell them that we need them straight away. And if she doesn't get anywhere, would she please contact district councillors and yourself, Chairman, and we will chase them up and make sure we're not waiting months like we did last time. And it's a matter of urgency, otherwise there'll be more damage and it's going to cost us more and more and more. Mm. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. So we'll note those minutes. Thank you. ETP, minutes of the 28th of May. Is that Councillor Dunfer? Would you like to move your minutes?
Yes, I would certainly like to move those minutes. I think to note the minutes. I don't want to add anything in particular. We didn't have stagecoach there on the day. So a lot of the issues that we wanted to raise, we weren't able to do.
Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I just ask the staff not to put ETP, because obviously some new councillors might know exactly what it was. No abbreviations, please.
Yep. Noted.
Noted.
Sorry.
Excellent transportation.
I know who it is.
I know you did. But for everybody else who doesn't, excellent transportation.
It's sneaking through. Can't have things sneaking through. Naughty.
Thank you, Councillor Chapman. Okay, next item is flood and land drainage.
Noted, duly noted. And,
thank you, Chair. So those are noted. We come on to equality. Council meeting, which was held on the 6th of June, and I think that's Councillor Dunfer again.
Do you move Can I also put forward the Quality Council notes for noting?
Everyone happy?
Thank you.
shall I add a little to that? We did. We are very pleased with the actions that are going on with the town clerk, the deputy and other people. We believe that we are almost in a position to apply for the second level of the three levels of the award, and we're going forward with that with all speed.
Thank you. Reports from members who represent the council on outside bodies. If there is anybody that has been to an outside body that would like to have a brief resume of what they've been on to, in the future, if members can't attend town council meeting, if they could put a small written report in, that would be handy. Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have met informally the Secretary and Chair of the Health and Wellbeing Board, and as a result of that meeting this morning, I went to the little room of Church of England Primary School to talk to the head there and have a look at the school and its various issues. On Thursday, I'm going to Berlika, hopefully with the Deputy Town Clerk, and then later on, I'll be going around at Exeter Town Hospital, having a look at the road. There is a change coming from the local NHS in the rural area, possibly in July. The been driven by the hospital, and the web board expressed a willingness to come here and give a presentation on the changes if this council so requires it.
Just checking, anybody else wish to give a report? No? Thank you very much indeed. District. We now move to district councillors' reports. So I'll go around the table, and if I get it wrong, I do apologise. Let's start over here. Councillor Tassone.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Yes, last month, Councillor Bailey and myself and the folk Councillor Bailey attended the Lutheran Festival, which was supported by Switch, and I think it was a very successful day. And that's really all I can say, apart from that, I'm doing the new induction training that all new members have had to go through. So, thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So, Ken Gill?
Yes, I attended my first meeting this morning, was strategic planning. I took the opportunity to ask Efrain, the planning part, about A-frame signage around the town of Exmouth. And highlighted that this was quite a major issue. We talked about it, and it was supported by another councillor. And there was a bit of a discussion about how they could set up a brief to the members of that committee and DFC about 215 entities. So it was quite a useful discussion, which was also a present at. So thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Jenny. Yes, over at District we've had lots and lots of training. I think attended 5 days of training so far. As member development, I then have to check up with different councillors. So I'm hoping councillors on planning on the town council have taken advantage of any of the training that was given over there to assist them. If not, you know, if you can let me know, and I'll let them know when there's more planning training in the pipeline. Apart from that, we've only had a couple of meetings starting at this trip because it's been so much on code of conduct and training for all the new councillors, as well as refresher groups for councillors that have been there before. And it's been pretty hectic, I have to say. But apart from that, no, we haven't got anything else to report at the moment.
Thank you. Councillor Davey?
Yes, like Councillor Chapman, I've been on a lot of training courses, and it has been extremely hectic, but I had the opportunity today to attend my first actual meeting of the council body, and that was strategic planning along with Fred. We had an interesting presentation from East End District Council about the results of appeals, because they monitor the success of appeals that come before a planning inspector against planning decisions, and they're pleased to report that roughly 3/4 of their planning decisions have been upheld, which is in excess of national results. I also took the opportunity, because they mentioned that house extensions seemed to be most successful in overruling council refusal, and there seemed to be a bit of a government drive towards permitting these where possible. So I asked if there was any evidence that this was actually adding to the housing stock or simply allowing people to live in bigger houses. So Ed Freeman was able to tell us that although there's no statistical evidence on this and the government doesn't seem to be collecting any, there is anecdotal evidence that where older people or sometimes younger people are living in a house extending a house, enables that house to actually house more people. So I was just interested in whether allowing extensions was actually providing any addition to the housing stock.
Thank you. I'm just trying to think of Tom. Have you got any other? No?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
your opportunity to speak. The please to acknowledge it. He has other councillors, lots of induction training, which is very a bit overwhelming for a new councillor initially, but slowly getting used to it. and attended the first district council meeting last month. I'm on overview, but it hasn't sat yet, so I can report up to you at that first meeting. Yes. End of this one.
Thank you. And the only thing I've been to is the first council meeting, so that's all I've done. Can I just ask that any councillors that has undertaken an NDP training, could they let the town clerk know via probably an email so that it can go on records here?
Please. So if you've attended training in your capacity as a town councillor, and I've booked it, obviously I have a record of it, but if you've attended training in your capacity as a district councillor and you've booked that directly with Susan Howe or Democratic Services, it's also useful for us to have a record of that training because it contributes towards our quality council status. So if you could email me with details of any training courses that you've attended in your capacity. Have you got one, Maddie?
Yeah, I've
got yours, but I... but yeah, there are a few district councillors, I don't have their records, so if you could please email me, then I can add it to our records. Thank you.
Thank you, councillors. We now move on to County Councillors' Report, and welcome Councillor Geoff Trey.
Thank you very much, Chair. First of all, on behalf of Christine, Bridget and myself, we'd like to congratulate you all on the election to the Town Council. Wish you all the best for the next 4 years. All three of us look forward to working with you to improve our community. I've got 4 points for myself, and then the rest I'm going to come off of Richard's report, which he sent me earlier this evening. Tooken Crossing at Laplow Exeter Road, this will be operational at the end of June. This was funded as part of the East Devon Trail, and it is an initiative to encourage a healthy lifestyle by walking and cycling around our wonderful countryside. The reason for the delay is that the box, the control box, had to move a couple of feet when it went back to South Western Power. The job was closed, reopened, so that's where the delay is, unfortunately, so apologies for that. As the chairman of the Estuary Management Partnership, I'm pleased to inform you that my endeavour is to have a harbour master employed by Exeter City Council has now come to fruition. A new master has been employed. He will start on the 22nd of July. He will have one full-time assistant, two part-time, and there will also be a new vessel. As soon as he's in post, I will arrange a meeting, because I do believe he's a former Royal Marine as well, so good effort, Royal. A large number of roadworks, especially resurfacing, is about to take place in and around Exmouth. Letters, notices and signs will be posted in good time to inform all residents and businesses of Devon County Council Highways actions. Residents will be asked to remove vehicles from sites during specific days and times will be given. Failure to react will result in the removal of residents' vehicles through Devon County Council Highways and the police. And I've asked that all residents please take notes of the notices because this work really does need to be completed. I think you'll find of late the Exmouth Rural and Exmouth Coastal areas, most of the roads are now getting gold treatment, which has been fantastic work from all three of us. So we haven't had a lot of work done in the last 10 years, I don't believe. So that's why there's all this work coming on now. So please be patient. There's now 22 restriction notices going out as well with regards to lineage. With regards to climate emergency, Devon County Council has its policy and a group at County Hall, and I'm sure should the Town Council require assistance, then please contact the office direct through the DCC telephone exchange. Okay. As an aside, the Accessory Management Partnership Committee, myself, officers, Timbridge, volunteers, and volunteers from Exeter carried out the beach cleaning of Dawlish Warren. Turnout was good, with a large number of fishing nets, fishing tackle, plastics and other waste was collected. Some of the waste has been taken away by marine biologists for research, and we should get a report back. When we get that report back, I'll ensure that you get that information via the town clerk. We will also be carrying out beach cleaning in Exmouth after the summer break. Again, I will inform you of those dates via the town clerk. So that's my report. Now I've got Richard's. It's not Councillor Scott's role to tell any of you how to run this council, but he would like to ask that you consider one point and put a plan in place to achieve it. What do you want Exmouth Town Council to do for the next 4 years? What is feasible, achievable, and what can you get done to benefit all residents? When you decide what you want, you need to plan for it, so the officers can put their energy and skills in pulling in that direction. Exmouth Town Council can achieve a lot, and you have the budget to do so. County updates, health. Myself and Richard are on the Adult Health and Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. So the new primary care network is up and running, and we will be meeting with the new director, Barry Cookley, on the 13th of June to discuss the future of primary care and the changes needed to benefit residents. Devon Carers are currently running a campaign on loneliness and how we can combat this issue, which has huge effects on residents' physical and mental health. We have backed parts of the campaign financially, and there is a lot of activity in the web area on this issue, which you discussed just now, David. Devon County Council has also put together the Doing What Matters Fund with £300,000 available to help communities combat loneliness. To do with carers, Richard and I are currently taking part in the Scrutiny Review investigation on volunteer carers and the issues that face and the statutory backing they receive or don't. This will report to Health and Social Care Scrutiny later in the year. Integrated Care System, ICS, continues to develop and is picking up pace with focus on care at home, not in hospitals. The challenge for the future is how other statutory service providers integrate voluntarily into the system, particularly the district councils and their housing and planning function. The NHS and CCG are being challenged regularly by us to change their mindset on what their budget currently does and what it should do. Housing is a massive topic and is a very large determinant of your health outcomes. We continue to visit and review all aspects of our health and social care service, and we will do so for the next 2 years. It is surprising the changes that can be made quickly when we identify issues when observing the professionals at work. Whoops. I was never any good at IT. Roads. I've already mentioned that the large scale improvements going on, and we welcome a push for more investment in the future. So it's not a one-off, we're going to keep bashing on at highways. On the 25th of June, a report comes back to corporate scrutiny on our request in relation to landowners, vegetation and the highway edge. We have been working on this now for 18 months. The recommendations will be a significant change in Devon County Council highway policy. In effect, the polluter pays. This will be the second Devon County Council policy we have changed in 12 months. There are still multiple issues all around the ward that are going to take time to land, and we continue to work on these areas. With regards to grants, Devon County Council has three programmes which Clark can forward on to you if you are interested. We continue to be proactive with our locality budgets and have, between the three of us, supported many organisations over the last 2 years. Now, I ask, when considering for your own grant, you check that there is no crossover, so we can support many organisations and residents. I do believe the grant criteria has changed to reflect this. In general, the three of us are very active and we are pursuing and supporting an awful lot of issues and problems. We continue to support an array of residents, organisations and our officers who have a positive vision for our town. There are multiple issues and problems, but we must remember we have a wonderful place to call home, and we must remain positive and approach the future with that mindset. And that is my report. Thank you.
Thank you very much for both reports. Councillor Ellison, did you want to ask a question?
Yes, I think, please. I just wanted to ask, when you do signage for roadworks, could we ensure that it actually, if possible, and I take this up with Christine Channel, possible say where roads are closed and where they're not closed, in as much as, for example, the one in Budleigh, which has been closed a significant time, it says at Knoll, diversion. So nurses, and this includes not only our nurses but community nurses, followed that diversion, come out of Station Road and found they had to come all the way back because the road was open to Golf Links Road. And it meant that they didn't visit the people they needed to in the time. And I'm just asking that if you do that in Exmouth in various roadworks, if at all possible, you know, could they actually say open to, because it has caused distress to our patients, and I know it has to community nurse patients. So I've taken it up with Christine, and Christine has tried very hard to do something, but it is causing distress, and I just wanted to raise that. And the other thing I just wanted to ask was, they're doing a traffic census at Gypsy Lane and Exeter Road. I just wondered if you had any knowledge about what that was about.
If I may come back, please. I'll take the last one first. There were two sensors, one at Gypsy Road and the other one outside Niddles. I don't know what they were for. I will find out and come back to you.
Thank you.
The second one is the Diversions and Highways Department. There are 22 different contractors, unfortunately, but when a highways report comes out, sorry, not report, traffic order comes out, there should also be a map with the diversions and everything on, and explain anything else as well. But I will come back to you on that one.
I think, in fairness, I think the map does show that they're doing the work from Knoll to
it's
thing.
A diversion.
But what the problem is, it's a rolling works. And it's just, if somebody said the road was open to Golf Links Road, be fair, people wouldn't go all the way around and then finally can't visit. And it is causing a problem. Certainly,
yeah. Since business is open
as usual.
Yeah,
they don't
have
to get
there,
do they? No. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor
Toy, Brian. I don't know whether Jeff can answer this one or not, but we know nationally that social care is extremely stressed and is suffering from lack of funds, lack of personnel. Has the County Council got any strategies for increasing the funding for this and increasing the personnel? We're losing personnel because some of them are Europeans who are going back to Europe. So this is getting to be a critical problem.
Right, so answer that.
If you'd like to.
This is coming up at scrutiny again next week. Once I've been to that particular meeting, I can give you the right answer. I don't want to pop you off, but the pool of carers, nurses around Devon offering the same pool. The way things are working now with the integrated care system, it is starting to work. It's all about the assessment plans and getting the right people in the right places at the right time. But to answer your question, I can't answer that now, but I will come back to you with the answer.
Thank you. No other points? Oh, Councillor Dunbar.
Thank you, Chair. One comment, well, following up on the highways, notifications, etc. We've had two quite, well, that I know about, two quite big road resurfacing jobs in Exmouth. One out here at Chapel Hill. I think we all received, and I certainly saw the notification for that. The one in Exeter Road, which was went over three nights, something like that. All we saw was a few odd boards beforehand, but we didn't see a notification coming through our bulletin or whatever. So I don't know whether maybe that on a learning point for the future, maybe it got lost on the way or something. The question I wanted to ask Jeff was about, you mentioned change in highway policy, and you mentioned from Richard Scott's part of the report, I think, about the polluter pays. And I wondered what specifically you know, the county had in mind in that respect.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you, Tim. Basically, what we're talking about is last year we had the A376 ploughed from George and Dragon all the way into town. The cost of that was £12,000 and 300 tonnes of waste was taken away. Basically, the majority of that waste is coming from landowners, i.e. they're cutting back their hedges, dropping it into the ditches, the tissues are getting full up, and we have to go and dig them out, which myself and Richard do on a fortnightly basis with the highways neighbourhood officer. So we're getting out there and getting sticky as well. So we felt that's a waste of taxpayers' money. So we've taken it to scrutiny, and the policy will now go through. And where the town clerk, parish clerks are sending letters for neighbours or residents to cut back their hedges and look after theirs, landowners will be getting exactly the same, and should they not do the work will be carried out and they will be issued with a bill and they'll be taken to small claims court if they don't pay.
Thank you.
Thank you for answering those questions.
Thank you very much. Well, I'll be excused, please.
Of course you can. You know it.
For what? We'll hit you with more.
Thank you for coming. Okay, we'll move on to item 7. To adopt the amended standing orders and financial regulations reviewed at the annual town council meeting in May 2019. I'm sure you will remember those. We have to leave it, as I understand, a month before we can adopt them. The month is now up. If you're happy, can I have a proposal on the second day, please? Thank you, Councillor Humphreys.
John Chairman.
Yeah, and Councillor Nichols. Thank you. All those in favour, please shout. Any against? Any abstentions? That's carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. We now move on to item 8, to review and adopt the annual accounts for 2019/19. 1. Income and expenditure accounts for year ending March 31st, 2019. Did you want to say anything to this paragraph?
Perhaps just a brief explanation for new councillors, that our accounts are prepared on an income and expenditure basis. Some councils do it on a payments and receipts basis. Ours are done on an income and expenditure basis, and we have an accountant that comes in at year end and prepares the year end close for us. So what we're presenting here are the income and expenditure accounts that have come about as a result of that close, along with our balance sheet. Under item 9, you'll see that we have to do an annual governance and accountability return, which is the return that we have to send to our external auditors. And the finance information is presented in a slightly different way on the AGAR return, because we have to extract out certain components. So that's why you might think you're getting two sets of accounts, but one is the year-end income and expenditure account, and the second one is the interpretation of those accounts as we have to present them for the external audit. I think the income and expenditure account is self-explanatory. The finance meeting minutes, there's a little bit of supplementary information there in terms of reserves. Balance sheet, do you want to go? Do you want me to go on to item 2, the balance sheet?
Chair, I just want to, can we place on record our thanks to Julie Gregory for the account and for the work she does on the account. And particularly, if everybody has read this letter, it does actually say, have a rude record. I would like to comment that the records are very well kept and organised. And that is our thanks to Julie Gregory, and I would just like it recorded in the town council minutes. Our thanks, and obviously, grateful for the comments made by Thomas Westcott. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll second that proposal. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, if you'd like to move on.
Yep, so the balance sheet is as presented. I don't think we've got any questions. As I say, we went through this at the finance committee meeting. And then there's a list of earmarked reserves, which again are self-explanatory. We discussed at the finance meeting that obviously the SIL reserves and our building sinking fund reserves are both looking quite healthy at the moment. Criteria for spending SIL is quite strict. We were asked at the finance meeting what our proposals are for promoting projects under SIL. And I explained to the finance committee that the next full council meeting will bring forward a neighbourhood plan implementation strategy, which will recommend that we come up with an infrastructure priority list similar to the infrastructure priority list that the district council holds for determining how our SIL monies are spent, and that will be reviewed through our section 106 working party, because it's developer contributions again, so it's a nice fit. Has anybody got any questions on any of those aspects, either the income expenditure, the balance sheet, or the reserves? No? Okay, thank you. So I'll ask Steve. Steve needs to sign this at the end as chairman of the council, but I've got a pristine copy for you to serve, so we'll do that at the end, all right? Yeah.
So we need to get a proposal and second.
Yes, they just need to be received.
We have a proposal and second. Can I suggest we take them on block, if that's okay?
Yeah, there's an asset register as well, sorry, yeah. I forgot to mention the asset register as well.
Councillor Cagle proposes. Councillor Deeks is seconding. All those in favour, please show. That's carried. Any against? Any abstentions?
No.
No? No, carried then.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you.
We move now on to item 9, which is the annual governance and move on to item 9, which is the annual governance and accountability return 2018/19. I'll hand over to the town clerk, because it is a very lengthy document that has to be read out, and a lot of it is, even though it's been blown up, it's in small print today. So I'll ask Lisa if she will give us that. Thank you.
Okay, so as I mentioned, this is commonly known as the AGAR, the Annual Governance and Accountability Return. It's the return that we have to send to our external audit, and it comprises various parts. The first part is the internal audit report, which was completed by Thomas Westcott, as Councillor Elson alluded to. That's come back satisfactory, and you'll see that the copy that we've circulated, all the boxes are ticked as they should be. Section 1 is the annual governance statement. Now, I know Councillor Humphreys queried last year whether it was necessary for us to read all this out, but we do, unfortunately, because you need to collectively agree that you're happy with the arrangements that have been put in place in terms of internal control. So I'm just going to read through it as quickly as I can, and at the end, if we can, if you can clarify that you're happy with the arrangements that have been put in place. So you agree that you've put in place arrangements for the effective financial management during the year and for the preparation of accounting statements. All happy with that?
We agree.
That you have maintained an adequate system of internal control, including measures designed to prevent and detect fraud and corruption, and that you've reviewed its effectiveness.
Agree.
That you've taken all reasonable steps to assure yourselves that there are no matters of actual or potential non-compliance with laws, regulations, and proper practices that could have a significant financial effect on the ability of this authority to conduct its business or manage its finances.
Agree.
That you've provided proper opportunity during the year for the exercise of electors' rights in accordance with the requirements of the accounts and audits regulations. Just to confirm that we have to make our accounts available for inspection for a period of 30 days. That inspection period will start on Friday. There's a statutory period, it has to include the first section of July. So, but last year we were compliant and we'll put that up this Friday. Happy with that?
Yes.
That you've carried out an assessment of the risks facing this authority and taken appropriate steps to manage those risks, including the introduction of internal controls and or external insurance cover where required.
Agreed.
That you've maintained throughout the year an adequate and effective system of internal audit of the accounting records and control systems.
Agreed.
That you've taken appropriate action on all matters raised in reports from internal and external audit. There have been no matters raised. That you've considered whether any litigation, liabilities or commitments, events or transactions occurring either during or after the year end have a financial impact on this authority, and where appropriate have included them in the accounting statements. And that trust funds, including charitable funds, that in your capacity as the sole managing trustee, you've discharged your accountability responsibilities for the funds and assets, including financial reporting and, if required, independent examination or audit. Okay, thank you. So that needs to be signed by the chairman, and I've got the original copy with me. And then the final bit is section 2, which is the accounting statements, which, as I said, is basically the same information that's presented in the income and expenditure and the balance sheet, but it's extracted slightly differently. And you need to confirm that those accounting statements are approved by the council today so that we can return the agar to PFK Little John by the 1st of July. So are you happy with that? We need a proposer and a second, please.
Proposer and a second, please. Councillor Edelson.
Second.
Councillor Sadiq, second. All those in favour, please show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Kevin.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Right. We then move on to item 10, the S106. We formally agree that the findings of the neighbourhood plan should be followed when spending all available S106 sports and urban space monies in Exmouth. See the attached report, which I think is quite explanatory. Does anybody? Oh, Councillor Dunbar.
Chair, I just wondered whether, again, we might explain for new councillors what section 106 is, or in brief, so that people can understand.
It's basically on the website. Yeah, as Councillor said, it's on the website, but basically,
sure.
when a planning application goes in, there is an allotted sum added to that.
It's actually explained in the document that the town clerk has circulated, Chair. Because it actually says in order to address these demonstrated capacity, planning authority seeks contribution, so it has.
Are you all happy with as it is set out in item 10 then?
Absolutely.
Can we have a proposer and a seconder, please?
Oh, Fred Nippers.
Councillor Fred Cagle, seconded by Councillor Sowell. All those in favour, please show. Those against? Any abstentions on it?
No.
No? Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Item 11, Queen's Drive Space. To discuss and respond to a request from East Devon District Council relating to event sponsorship opportunities at Queen's Drive Space for summer 2019, see attached. Does anybody wish to make any comment on this? Councillor Hudson.
I never sponsored an event last year, and I can't recall, I know it was not an event, but I just didn't know what the expense was that we spent last year on this particular.
I thought it was three. I thought it was three. You think it was two? I didn't
know. So it wasn't
five,
was it?
No. No. So this year, Alison Hayward phoned and she asked expressly if we would consider sponsoring one Royal Opera House event and one cinema event, but she said that they would be delighted if we would sponsor, you know, one or other or both.
Why are they struggling for sponsorship?
I think they are struggling for sponsorship.
Do you want to another sign ball, please?
£3,000 for a Royal Opera House screening and £2,000 for an open air cinema event. So they've asked us if we would consider sponsoring one of each.
Can I ask where the budget would come from? Which particular line in the budget would that be from if we did go ahead?
I would recommend we take it out of the economic development budget, which is the budget that Suzanne Burkett used to have for events. So if we'd been putting on events in our own name, and obviously we don't have an events officer at the moment, but if we were, it would come out of that economic development line. And you remember at the finance committee, we discussed that we've got quite a lot in reserves.
Okay.
Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Joan. I would agree to one event, Doctor.
I would agree with that, concurrent, Councillor Chapman.
Yeah. Can I take Councillor Cahill first and then we'll come back?
Thank you, Chairman. I understand that the District Council have just newly appointed an officer to oversee all the events. Surely it's in his remit to sort of try and find sponsorship for all these types of events. Is that not the case?
I think that's why we're being asked to help.
I do question the validity of it, to be quite honest, because the District Council are funding all that area at the moment. Ready for whatever may come forward for the next phase, as it were, of the whole development. And I wouldn't necessarily agree with it personally.
Councillor Toy.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned because if we go in for more and more commercial events, it might be accepted that that is a place for commercial events to take place, and I think we need to limit commerce as much as we can, especially in the play space area.
I'll take Councillor Nicholas first.
Can I just say something, Brian? Quite a few of the events are actually free. Whether they get a collection, I don't know, but they are free. There are other ones that are still free, but you have to apply for a ticket first because they're limited space. But there are also going on last year's, they charge for some. But the majority of them were free for families that are living anyway. So where that money came from, I have no idea. But presumably, except for the one that we funded, which was £2,000, the rest came out of East Devon's budget, or they found other people to sponsor them.
I would assume that East Devon wants to maximise their profitability because of the cockeyed way they've gone about this seed fund development. We were told it was going to be cost neutral. And they want to recover as much as they can, possibly.
Can I just ask the town clerk?
Yeah, so my understanding is that, you know, this isn't coming out of any capital budget that they've allocated for Queen's Drive. And actually what they're looking to do is to create some temporary events down there so that it's a useful space while they're deciding what they're going to do with it and how, you know, the Wayne Hemingway consultation informs that process. I think last year Alison Hayward got permission for a small budget, but actually some of that went to cover the cost of putting the play equipment in. And then the rest of it, they were trying to make it wash its face, and I imagine it's a similar situation this year. So as far as I know, it's a separate small revenue budget that they've got to put on the temporary events that they're hosting down there, and they're looking for some additional support through sponsorship to maximise the use of that space until permanent plans come forward.
Thank you for that. I'll take Councillor Steve and then
Councillor. I was just going to say, in view of what you said about the events budget, I would support Maddie's suggestion of sponsoring one event. I just think as a whole, £5,000 sounds a lot, two and a half sounds as a taxpayer more reasonable to support. So I'd just say I'd support Maddie on that.
So, can I just add that as far as I know, the Royal Opera House screenings are free to attend. I think it's a condition of the Royal Opera House screenings that they are free events. I'm not sure about the open air cinema. Last year there were tickets for the open air cinema. My suggestion for what it's worth was if you want to sponsor one rather than the other, perhaps consider the Royal Opera House screening, which is £3,000, because that will be open to all to attend. You won't have to buy a ticket to attend it. But it's £3,000 for a Royal Opera House screening.
Councillor Brandy.
Thank you, Chair. I think that Exeter Town Council do a wonderful job in doing the festival, which is free, very successful. And I really believe that we're spending other people's money here, and I don't think we should be spending our money supporting East Devon on their bedraggled situation at Queen's Drive. And I think it's their responsibility, and if they want to do things, let them do it. I can't see why we should put any more money into it. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Chair. Yes, this town council will be sponsoring an event from the Royal Opera House in London, which put on wonderful, wonderful productions. And it'll be free for the people of Exmouth. And I believe that the people of Exmouth, a lot of people, would want and they would go and support this. Because there are so many people in this town on small incomes that cannot afford to go to the arts and the theatres, even towards Exeter and Plymouth. So I think this is a good idea that we should help for the people of Exmouth to see these wonderful events coming out from the theatre and the opera.
Right, thank you all for your instructive thoughts. I'll go back to Councillor Maddie Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. Now, last year, a number of youngsters in my road went, I think it was Swan Lake, wasn't it?
Yep.
And they thought it was absolutely wonderful. And there was no way Mum and Dad could have taken three youngsters up to London to see Swan Lake. They took a picnic, they had a wonderful time. So I'm not going to sit here and play party politics on what's happening here or what's happening there. I think it's £3,000 well spent for the people of Exmouth. It is something different. It's completely different music to what is produced at the festival. And it's something that it can inspire the youngsters. Who knows? They might go on and become ballet dancers. They might go and be opera singers. But I really think they should be given the chance to see these things. Thank you, Chair.
So, could you just put your proposal forward again, then, please?
I would like to propose the one for the Royal Opera. It's free for the people of Exmouth and for the youngsters.
Okay, so you've heard the recommendation. You all know what you're voting for. All those in favour, please shout. That's unanimous by the looks
no,
of it.
No, Fred's.
Oh, sorry. I do apologise.
Sorry, Fred.
Those against? Or abstentions? Thank you very much. Okay, so we move on, I think, to the last item, which is number 13, which is the mayor's charity. As you can see on the paper, it says that I will be raising money 2019-20 for the Open Door Exmouth, and I hope to have some more information for you about events fairly shortly. As there's no other business, I declare the meeting closed and look forward to seeing you